Welcome to the Certainty Roundtable podcast, designed for those advisory teams preparing for the fast emerging new era of financial advice in Australia. Hosted by Jim Stackpool, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with over 30 years experience advising advisory firms, the Certainty Roundtable podcast brings together the growing group of Certainty Advice firms as they share their insights, experiences, as they attract, attain, price and manage their valuable advice clients and advisory teams. Now, here is your host, Jim Stackpool.
G'day, Jim Stackpool here with another in our roundtable series where we're talking about benchmarks. I love benchmarks. We've been involved with benchmarks since I got working with this industry back in, I think, late 80s we started doing the work. In fact, probably during the early noughts, we had the largest collection of benchmarks in the Australian marketplace, which size was one thing, but also was its demise when we quickly saw that the institutions were not using them in the way they were being designed. But anyway, that being said, benchmarks can still give us this external support to let us know how we're going, not only internally, but externally. And so the benchmarks are available for internal, how did we go last year, but also external, how we're going compared to others, ensuring we're comparing apples and apples. I want to share three key benchmarks in this: client benchmarks, productivity benchmarks, and breakthrough benchmarks. Check it out. So I want to share with you today what I think are some of those 2022 numbers that I would be, and I'm working with our firms on, to ensure that you're focused on what I think is the growth areas, and particularly growth areas for the new era of advice that we're working with in. The numbers themselves change. And so anyone that's listening to me talk about wobble theory is about how we, over time, grow, and we go through different phases of growth from firms that are still down here in their activity phase. You know, the benchmarks for a firm in activity phase are different from a firm in what I call their admin phase, and also then again different from a firm that's trying to get through their management phase. And again, different for a firm going through what I call a dependency phase or underdependency phase. And so it really is important in some ways to understand, and then the merger and acquisition stage up here, it really is important to understand what phase we're at. And so I would say things like, for instance, one of my core ratios I love is the return, total return for the FTE, which is what's the total revenue of the firm divided by the number of people FTE. Because it can get quite high up in this phase when it's really quite a small organization, a small business, going up to say 250K to I think 375K if you're really running solo and running it really well. But then inevitably, as we start bringing on admin, that number is going to come down. But then as we start getting management again, that number is going to go up. And so it's more about where you are at different phases of growth. And even if you're big enough, you may have different divisions at different stages. One firm might be in activity phase, and that set of benchmarks might be quite different to another more mature part of your business, which is at M&A or brand, or the dependency stage. And so without getting too technical, and that's where the individual business planning helps, one of the core things that I really want to identify here in this whole is that benchmarks by themselves are good, but what we really found when you're doing benchmarks is you can have benchmarks for HR, and I'll cover some, and benchmarks for client, and benchmarks for productivity. But what I think really are important for the new era of advice is, what are the benchmarks at this stage of your firm's growth? And I call these breakthrough benchmarks. Because we don't think just tracking to a benchmark for the industry is going to cause a breakthrough. It's more for your firm where you are at the moment, what's your breakthrough you're trying to achieve? And then what's a breakthrough benchmark that indicates you're on that path? So going along in these phases and simply trying to increase your, for instance, median price per client or your referral rate per client by 1 or 2, 20%, it might in fact just be exacerbating the wobbles a bit more. But what we, depending upon your firm, it is important to understand, we think, what is those core habit changes? Because a breakthrough is fundamentally something which is currently beyond a team or an individual's comfort zone. It's going to take some skill, and it's also going to take some support to achieve. And it is in it lines up the business plan with the career plan of the individual who is undertaking that benchmark. So I want to cover not simply just some classic benchmarks, but I also talk about some breakthrough benchmarks that I think are relevant for the next 12 months. So here's some of the core benchmarks we think for client benchmarks. Active niches per senior advisor per annum. So we see a core benchmark with an active niche. So a niche is a specific group of people with a specific complexity that you're building specific expertise to deliver upon. And an active niche is giving you ideal clients. A A niche is therefore also defined as giving you probably at least two ideal clients per month, maybe one growing to two. You may have inactive niches, which are every now and again, 3 or 4 months, 6 months, you get a referral or it grows. But an active niche is two leads, ideally of a specific complexity with specific expertise per month, per senior advisor per annum. Any more than that, we tend to become less of a niche and more of a broad market, which then might bring down your pricing. Net promoter score is the next one. NPS, net promoter score. We think above 70. We know these things are quite volatile. The capture of it's quite volatile. And it's quite, depending upon how many clients are actually filling in these things, usually after some sort of review, its number can change quite quickly based upon some, not so much promoters, but more of those clients in that score is 7 or 8. New client fee tension, about 66%. A lot of clients have been working with me for some time would probably not question that. That is, we're only trying for every 3 ideal clients that are walking in through the door, 3 ideal prospects. We're only trying to achieve our pricing model to earn 2 of those, knowing that one we'd like to help, but it's just simply too much money. Same with the existing client fee tension. We want to keep that at about 80%, which really strongly challenges some of the thinking in the industry about clients for life. I know regional parts of Australia may have that as a real challenge because there's no one else for some of those clients to go to, and that might again change your 80%. Percentage of active clients uplifted, where the uplift is at least 20%. Again, this is a consistent number for us. So with percentage of active clients, this is on a comprehensive model we're assuming here. So if you're delivering comprehensive advice from where to go, whether the client's 85 or 35, we would see that once every 3 or 4 years, the client needs more project work. There's something happens in their lives, in their circumstances, in the lives of those who are important to them, which would need more project work, and therefore an uplift of the 30% of those. Percentage, number of ideal clients per active clients per annum, 25%. And so if we've got 100 active clients, we'd be expecting at least 25 ideal referrals, not any referral, ideal referrals for those hundreds every year. An active client median, not mean, median fee growth of 20%.
That's where you mentioned about the niche, Jim. Are you kind of, I guess I'm probably looking through those ratios when you're chatting about that. Are you talking about a specific sort of type of client or a specific sort of type of advice?
Yeah, we're fans of niches fundamentally. And so it might be you're building expertise in a certain SME category within the marketplace. You've got a specific expertise with a certain clientele within a geographic location. You may have a niche with a specific type of retail market of a certain type of turnover. And you're getting, so it's really a group of clients that have got a common complexity, and you're building you want to build an expertise around that common complexity, whether it's geographically bound, whether it's life bound of a certain type or geography, or whether it's a certain type of business type. But yeah, we're big fans on niches. So let's look at what I call the productivity benchmarks, some of the more classic productivity benchmarks for the 2022. So here we see total revenue for total FTE. And again, this you may have seen this stat before from us, where we have a total revenue of FTE of about $250,000. So this is a full-time equivalent employed team member. And so $1 million turnover business has got 4 people. A $3 million turnover business got 12 people, not including outsourced. And so if the outsourced is a full team member, we think that's part of your FTE numbers. If it's a contract, if we're just using it on an ad hoc basis, it's not. It's part of your costs. I think these numbers are changing with the outsourcing evolution as it's going. It may have been coming down a bit, but I think fundamentally we're still seeing these as the core numbers. Total revenue for senior, about $750,000 across all seniors. And what's a senior? It's up to you, but generally someone with 7+ years, I think, in terms of delivering advice, if experience can last. PMR, your predictable minimum annual recurring revenue, about 80%. Total revenue growth, top line, about 20%. Going even above 20% consistently can cause its own, take some teeth off the cogs of the machinery. And profitability, earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, amortization, after a notional of $160,000 for each owner's package, about 40%. For me, this number here, this $250,000 return per person, that's long time been my favorite ratio from a productivity perspective. Okay, let's look at the next set of productivity benchmarks, which I think is, in terms of core, some of what I think are the breakthrough benchmarks. And this, notice the theme here of these breakthrough benchmarks. They're very team-based. And I think the new era of advice is going to be far more team-based than simply just advisor-based. So this is a really key point. The new era of advice is going to be team-based as compared to just advisor-based, combining great advisors. And as we can bring more and more of the back office into the front office, we would think one of the key benchmarks is that The team members are achieving quarterly breakthroughs. And a breakthrough for a team member is different based upon the roles, et cetera, that they're playing. But it again comes down to the fundamentals for all breakthroughs. It's going to take support. It's going to take training. It's going to take something outside their usual experience. And it's going to be a bit of a push and through comfort zones and things like that. So we see the number of career breakthroughs per annum, about 4. And that's slightly, and some of those career members who are obviously advisors, some of them might be linked to new client breakthroughs, doing work they've never done before, for fees they've never gained before, or engaging with alliances they've never worked with before, or going down to the niches they haven't opened up before. Again, it's both those top two numbers, we think, for breakthrough benchmarks, is more aligned to what aligns the business plan with the team member plan. Annual growth of advisor face time. And so this is what I think is, and I know this is a hard one to measure, and so if we come back to face time as any time when an advisor is spending time with clients or networks or alliances, or they're doing prospecting, they're doing networking, they're doing marketing, they're meeting with their centers of influences. They're not doing client desk time, but they're doing client time or alliance time. We shoot for a 33% increase in that annually, with a total cap of 60%. And so not to go above a 60% client face time for any advisor, because that then deteriorates the performance of the team. We're trying to get a 33%. So if someone's currently doing 20% of their year in face-to-face time with clients, we're trying to get that up by another 33%. They're doing 40%, trying to get that up to another 33% the following year. Only done because the team's becoming more productive. Number of new ideal clients per advisor per annum, about 20%. And this is a key one too, annual hours work full-time across the board, from the founders through to the, if they're working full-time, trying to get this cap around 18,850 hours a year, which assumes that we're taking 4 weeks off, which assumes we get 2 public holidays, which we assume we're doing sick leave and PD time.
The biggest challenge for us right now is capacity. So I've got 2 advisors. One's got 62 families he looks after, and the other's got 80. And they're getting to a point where we're going to struggle taking on a lot more clients. So it's a case of working out now, do I need a third advisor to aim to fill them up?
Yeah. And it's also, you know, again, the other two levers you've got, obviously, is waiting time. People clients may have to wait. And the other lever you've got is obviously price. It's just you're in demand. There's not a lot of you. And so the access price needs to go up, or the fees need to go up, or the uplifts need to go up. Not everyone will like that. But in terms of sustaining the business plan and your own career plans for your team members, they're the other core levers that we need to pull into that sort of equation. Because finding quality people, that's going to be our hardest thing we have to do.
Yeah. And that's helping us to be more selective with who we'll take on, the fact that we're more mature now and we can pick and choose the right kind of clients to work with.
Yeah, really crucial. Really, really crucial. And because some of the breakthroughs, and this might be simply for someone like you, more time off.
Yeah, well, I'm off the tools now. So I've got 2 financial planning clients left, and the advisors are looking after all the clients now.
Yeah. And so a breakthrough is quite definitive to the career stage someone's at, the business plan someone's at, but it does take support. It does take different thinking, and it is outside comfort zones to let go of clients, increase pricing, change our minimum access prices and things like that. But I think these are the breakthrough numbers.
We're very, very focused on really making sure that we only take on ideal clients. And we've partnered with some other firms that we can give a solution where we find clients that don't meet the cut to then transition them to some alternatives. And probably for us, you know, capacity, we're a growing business. So we're constantly changing year after year. So I would say that just making sure that we sort of, again, target the right clients helps with then the amount of hours and so forth as well.
But, and how are you going with this one, this 18,500?
I think it really depends on the client need. Like, I mean, and then also making sure that we're not going overboard, but there are times where you've got to dig in and there's times where you don't. So it's definitely a work in progress, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I think this one's getting tougher and tougher and tougher, you know, in terms of managing.
I think we could all espouse, we'd love to get to a 38.5-hour week, and I'm sure it's possible. And that's the ultimate sort of goal. But, as we all know, in my view anyway, it's an opportunity, but there are times where that happens, there are times where that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I think managing the careers of people moving forward, they're going to value, particularly post-COVID, more flexibility in how they're engaged and working. And we have to think smarter and smarter about how we our businesses of the past, we can't get new team members repeating the careers of those who went before them, because they won't do it. And I think, as we're all saying, it's harder and harder to find the talent. And flexibility is going to be one of those key employee benefits people are going to be expecting and looking for. So running a business that doesn't run our people too hard is a core element. If they do run hard, that's a benefit, and it should be above expectation. But yeah, it's always a tough one. And I share that as a goal for myself too, Craig. So I'm totally with you. I guess the key point with all this is that there is a specific business planning approach that you're taking, or got an exercise coming up where you're doing business planning and you want to get some of the business numbers and what benchmarks might be, because there's another element of these which I call the hybrid benchmarks. What's the hybrid of these? And so when you start doing, you know, what is the net promoter score when you divide it by the number of ideal clients over a median, you start to get interesting numbers when you start doing hybrids of some of these benchmarks. But again, that's probably more applicable one-on-one. If you've got a business plan going through a certain phase, we can help construct a particular hybrid business number, performance number, benchmark that might give you some indicative of what growth is specifically for you. There you go. What did you think? You know, benchmarks. Really important to align the benchmark with the cycle of growth a firm's going through. And so that wobble theory thinking is around, I believe, this importance of aligning your benchmarks, not just in terms of the traditional revenue numbers and cost numbers and profitability numbers, but I think also what's your breakthrough benchmarks. And I think it's really a focus on the breakthrough benchmarks. The core of it is, what's the breakthrough for each career, the career breakthroughs for every team member, and aligning that ideally with the business plan and the firm's breakthroughs they're trying to achieve over the same period of time. The other key thing I think too, is, which is a bit, those benchmarks more out there on face time and that reducing the number of hours. And whilst I get the old line that we just got to put the hours in, need to be done, I don't think the team members of the future are going to willingly repeat the careers of those that went before them. So we have to get efficient not only with our systems and processes, but also our assumptions that will the people coming through be as patient as the founders have been to get the returns? And I don't think so. And so we've got to build businesses that have benchmarks which recognise that the most important resource we have is our people, and ensuring we're not making any assumptions that they will repeat the careers we, in terms of particularly the amount of effort and hours put in. So let's make sure your benchmarks are considering that. Any questions with any of this, as per all our roundtables, please don't hesitate. Give us a call. 2022, great year to get your benchmarks right. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Roundtable podcast with Jim Stackpool. To access the material from today's show or to join in the conversation, head to www.certaintyadvicegroup.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions, and opinions. Working together, we hope to achieve a lot more for more Australians. CertaintyAdviceGroup.com.